Good morning. Welcome into In Focus, News Radio KMAN. And we're getting right up on the new year here. We're looking forward to some new people coming on the Manhattan City Commission. One of those joins us today in studio, and that's Aaron Estabrook, who was voted in back in November. Aaron, it's good to have you in.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you, Brandon.
Now, you are no stranger to public service. You've served before on the Manhattan-Ogden School Board, and you decided to get back into the race again here for public service not that long ago.
Yeah, so I'm just very thankful for this opportunity to serve the community again in a different capacity, but also I've learned a lot through the campaign over the last, really since last April when we announced that I was going to run, and there's just so many people that I've met, and I'm so appreciative of the input that they've given me and continue to give me, and thankful for the votes that are now going to allow me to be serving them as a city commissioner.
Yeah, and as far as getting elected, you're one of the younger ones on the city. I think you may be the youngest on the incoming city commission here.
Well, yes, I will be the youngest. I'm not going to say by how many years, but I'm definitely one of the things that I really appreciated about the people that I've met and discussed the value and what they want to see their city commission do, and kind of the perspectives that they bring, is that there wasn't somebody that had a young family that was representing them on the commission, and I will bring that perspective, as I have two young daughters, and it's a different world to be a parent now than it was when some of our commissioners were raising their children. Things are different, and that affects your bottom line. That affects the way you conduct your business, the culture, all of those things that make us a great community, but also make it difficult at times for young families to really feel like they're part and enjoying all the quality of life options they might have.
Yeah, so you'll bring a different perspective, no doubt about it here. And you've had some time to prepare for the job at hand since being elected in early November. What are you, I guess, most looking forward to when you get sworn in here in January?
I've had some time to meet with city officials and different departments, and so those trainings, those orientations, I think I counted up 16, 17 meetings that I'll have had in the last 3 weeks before I'm sworn in. So that is, I'm looking forward to not meeting so regularly with or so quickly, but having those more a little bit more spread out than all jammed in. But it's been a very, very informative process, and I am fortunate to have had some experience in some of these departments, with be it Parks and Rec or some of the fire. Having a little background, but it is a lot of new information. And so going forward, I'm completely keeping my phone available and email available for people to reach out to me, but I will be reaching out to some of the people that are in charge to understand better how their departments work and how maybe we can make them more efficient. And going forward, just being on the commission, being able to be a voice and kind of ask the right, or what I would see is a question that one commissioner can bring, that viewpoint one commissioner can bring that's different, that might ask the question that opens a door to more programs or different types of services or even affordability and financing questions that better serve our and make us a better Manhattan.
And there's clearly some initiatives that you're passionate about, and you, being on the commission, you'll get a chance to have your voice heard here. One of those is affordable housing, as I understand.
Yes. Yeah, so workforce housing is something, a workforce housing initiative is something that you're going to probably hear a lot from me. I want to make sure that we have that backbone in Manhattan that is that working class, that middle class, the people that are keeping everything running, and that they feel like they have a place that they can thrive and community that they live in appreciates and respects them, and they have dignity of living in quality places that are not unaffordable for all of the hard work that they put in. Somebody that's working 40 hours a week and working hard and doing the labor but can't afford to live in the community that they're serving is not acceptable, in my opinion. So we can do things by establishing an affordable housing advisory board to discuss the data to see where the needs are, consolidating information, bringing stakeholders together, and really kind of building a mechanism to serve as a to do the deep dig that then will pursue some recommendations that would be presented to the commission in an informative way. I don't think we have that process right now, and it's unfortunate because we keep circling back to this problem, and everybody recognizes it's a problem, yet there's no mechanism to solve that problem. And so first we need to build that mechanism by this advisory board. And then also I want to see a establishment of a workforce housing trust fund that is either in conjunction with the city or completely separate through a nonprofit entity that has the ability to help people take that next step into home ownership without being kind of unable to do that. It's a process that we'll have to educate a lot of people about, but it involves shared equity. And if you think of the Habitat for Humanity type model, it is similar, but the land then stays with the trust even after the structure is sold. And that land is never completely owned or owned at all by the person that is buying the home. So that land is essentially why the home is more affordable, because it is taking $30,000, $40,000 off the price tag when you're not purchasing the land. And I think there's so many opportunities in our community to partner with different organizations like Habitat for Humanity or even Job Corps. Having students in the Flint Hills Builders Association with K-State to make these homes that are sitting around vacant more livable, bring them up to code, and then there's potential there for a nonprofit to work through this trust to keep them affordability and keep them maintained in a good fashion.
So likewise with affordable housing also comes, housing that's safe here for our community. What do you hope to do here in terms of furthering the conversation on rental inspections?
Yeah, so I see that safety and affordability are two components that aren't always in concert and don't have to be in concert, but at the same time, if we're doing what we need to be doing with a affordable housing trust affordable housing advisory board or a workforce housing trust fund, both of those entities would be baked into the ingredients of what they do to ensure that people are living in safe places. Because of the restrictions and requirements that go along with that, it would be a natural natural element of that progression, I guess. And so what I think our community has struggled with is those terms being married together in a way that don't make sense to a lot of people, and then often result in people hearing affordability, but really thinking that it means rental inspections. And that is not the case at all. Rental inspections have to do with safety. And so when we're talking about affordability or we're talking about workforce housing, we are talking about the cost of living in the community and the bottom line of what that is. Now, there is a different type of cost that is a safety cost, and those are concerns that are very valid. We want people to be in the best safe places that they can be, and that doesn't have to be different than affordability. But that isn't how the price in the economic system that you use to attack the affordability issue is not the same as you use to attack the safety and rental inspection issue. And so, since I only have 2 years, you will not be finding me going down the pathway of rental inspections. I will be charging as hard as I can to develop a workforce housing initiative and these other pathways to solve that, I think, large problem without a mechanism to get to a solution. Rental inspections has been secular debate ongoing, and I think there's a lot of information and can be a symptom of the larger problem of affordable housing.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Aaron Estabrook after this on News Radio KMAN.